Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Today is Christ the King Sunday. This is a Sunday which reminds us of who is truly King, who we owe allegiance, who it is that can lead us to a better place than the one we find ourselves in right now, and what does this true King require of us? We are all serving somebody. But who is it, and what do they require? Sarah and I have been watching The Crown on Netflix. Season 4 is out now. I don't know about you, but whenever there's anything new to watch on TV, I get way more excited than I used to before this pandemic hit. Margaret Thatcher shows up in season 4, and so does Diana, and it's the ending of their first episode together that I'd like to ruin for you now if you haven't seen it already. Please forgive me. Margaret Thatcher, the prime minister, shows up to spend some time with the royal family at their castle in Scotland. It's a hard thing to do under any circumstance and with any host to go up and spend some time at someone else's house because you may not know all the rules. What's the dinner attire? Should we have brought something? Does everyone come down to breakfast still in their pajamas? Such waters become exponentially more difficult to navigate when you're in the home of the English royal family. The prime minister and her husband know all that, so they are visibly nervous about meeting the standards of their host, the queen, as they're shown to their rooms, and they can immediately tell that here the rules are different from what they're accustomed to, because when in Scotland, spouses in the home of the royal family don't sleep in the same bed. Fortunately, there is an itinerary for their stay. It's been printed and placed on a table, so they know that the next gathering is that evening, though it's not clear to them if they should come down to drinks at 6, already dressed for dinner, which is black tie. The Thatchers decide to go down prepared for dinner. However, when they come down for drinks at 6, they join the royal family who's just come in from stalking an elk. They're all muddy and in their hiking boots and are surprised by what the Thatchers have on. You see, they're already falling short. And the next day, the queen invites the prime minister to go out to stalk this elk. Unfortunately, the prime minister only brought her sensible heels, which is the wrong kind of footwear to wear when traversing the Scottish Highlands. That evening, the royal family plays parlor games. Margaret Thatcher doesn't play parlor games. Basically, the whole visit is a complete failure. The prime minister is judged harshly, and she goes home early, defeated. Then the young woman who would be Princess Diana shows up. She makes everyone laugh. She spots the stag the family's been stalking. She wins all the parlor games. It's clear that she's done what she needed to have done to gain the approval of the royal family. Only at the end of this episode, as the paparazzi learns that Diana is the prince's new love interest and just begins to surround her with all those flashing cameras, servants back in Scotland are hanging the mounted stag's head on the wall. And it becomes clear that while Diana has been accepted, her acceptance comes at a cost. We all bow before earthly powers. Sometimes they won't even tell us by what rules we're being judged by. Of course, we are being judged, and maybe you, like me, sometimes find yourself worrying about that. Maybe you worry a lot about how you're being perceived by the ones who set the standards of decency and class. Only consider this. Princess Diana had the perfect wedding by royal standards. Can you remember how long the train was of her gown? It nearly filled up Westminster Abbey. She met all their expectations. She rose to the occasion, but she walked down the aisle and married a man who loved another woman. Sometimes we serve masters who seem to offer salvation, so we grovel before them and rise to their expectations, but what do they really give us in return? Today is Christ the King Sunday, a Sunday which reminds us of who is truly King and who can truly lead us to a better place than the one we find ourselves in right now. And considering where we are right now, I wonder if life feels anything to you like it must have felt to Moses and the Israelites standing at the beach with the Egyptian army closing in, there's nowhere to go as we can't just march right through the sea. Life isn't back to normal, but neither has the road back to normal been revealed. We believe that God will save us, but we must wait. And we must not turn on each other while we wait, or there won't be anything left of us for him to save. So hear now what the Lord requires of those whom he'll lead across the sea into the promised land. Come. You that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. His point is that how we treat each other, maybe especially in a climate where nothing goes exactly as it should, matters more than anything else. Yet some make rising to the same standards of perfection that were unattainable before any of this started their chief priority, prompting the question, who do you really serve? Our wedding might not have made the cover of any bridal magazine. I've been thinking about our wedding because last Monday was our 18th wedding anniversary. The ceremony was supposed to be outside, but it rained. I was given this one job, find someone who can sing, and I did, only I'd never asked to hear him sing, and while he could sing, he should not have. There was a band, but they spent all their time eating rather than playing, and they didn't know the words to the song we wanted them to play for our first dance, so we used a CD, but the CD skipped. In so many ways, we failed to rise to the standard. Certainly, this was no royal wedding, but we love each other. We still do, and it is by this standard of love, how well we all love each other, that we will be judged by the true King of Kings. Not everyone seems to know that, but notice how he just comes right out and says it. To paraphrase, he says, I'm King of Kings, and if you want me to welcome you into my kingdom, pay attention to the least of these. Wear sensible high heels all you want, just pay attention to the poor. Is that whose acceptance we're working for? In our world today, it's getting even harder to follow the social protocol because it's not universally accepted what we should be doing. It reminds me of this wonderful line about the chaos in the time of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. All people did what was right in their own eyes. And so some wear masks and then some don't. You'll be judged by someone either way. Our world is so full of judgment. An old preacher used to say that far too many churchgoers have grown used to having Kentucky Fried Preacher for lunch after church every Sunday. They gather around the table and debate how long or how short the sermon was. Was he too political or was he too milquetoast? Sometimes we judge just to have something to talk about with our friends. Other times we judge to decide who will be welcomed in and who will be left out. According to the parable, Christ is saying, those who separate themselves from the least of these separate themselves from me. We're always being judged. We even judge ourselves, so we don't just look in the mirror. We look in the mirror and we compare ourselves to some standard. Do I look young enough? Do I look trim enough? Do I look pretty enough? Every student in high school does the same thing. She thinks about what she'll wear and how she'll act because she knows she's being judged and watched, not just graded by her teachers, but also assessed as worthy or unworthy based on her appearance. And I'd like to say that at some point it gets easier. I suppose it does, but it also never ends. Until we settle on whose acceptance we really want. So let your standards be set by the one who will have final judgment over you. Consider not what this world wants from you, but what he requires. I was hungry and he gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. That's what ultimately matters. That's how you create those perfect memories. That's what really fulfills us and makes us people we are proud to be. How you treat people. I want you to know that I believe our wedding was perfect because the woman I'm married to is the woman who I love. I don't always wear the right clothes, but ultimately I'll not be judged by my clothes. I'll be judged by my heart. So may the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. May the same mind be within you that was in Christ Jesus, who broke all the rules except the only rule that matters. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say, unless your neighbor's locked up. It doesn't say unless your neighbor is awkward. It doesn't say unless your neighbor wears a mask or doesn't wear a mask. My friends, we preach the gospel with our words, and so often it falls on deaf ears. But when we live the gospel, it resounds throughout the generations and especially throughout our memories. But when I look back and consider what I've done and who I've been, I most vividly remember those people who met me in my sad estate and who I met, not on their best day, but on their worst. There is a man who lives on the street named Melvin, whose picture is framed and in my office right next to the picture of my children. There is a woman named Susan who I met with once a week while I served as a chaplain in the Metro State Women's Prison. That was absolutely the worst summer I've ever had. But once Susan said to me, "Joe, you made a difference in my life," and that changed my life forever. We are standing on the shore. And the only way to get to the promised land is for our God to deliver us. But what we do now matters. For we have the power to treat each other well. By our love, may they all know that we are Christians. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.